that secularly he was aware of medicine and philosophy and poetry, and he was a very charismatic teacher. He was a student of Rabbi Yeshayahu Bassan. And the uniqueness of Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto was that he took a lot of very deep ideas of Kabbalah and he reframed them and expressed them in the language of philosophy and clarity. He was a very, very, very special person. So this book, Mesilas Yesharim, is a book of ethics, of building our character, based on a brisa of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, which is really based on a pasuk in Parshas Ekev. The pasuk says, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Me'imach. What is God, your Lord, asking of you? Not so much. Kiim Liroso, just to fear him, Ulaavoso, and to love him, Ulaleches B'chol Drachav, and to go in all of his ways. So to explain what those different things are, to fear him, to love him, to go in his ways, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair has a brisa where he lists 13 steps. Learning Torah brings a person to being careful. Being careful brings a person to zrizus, to passions. Zrizus brings a person to nikios, to cleanliness. Cleanliness brings a person to purity. One thing leads to the next, and that's the theme of Mesilas Yesharim. This is the path of the just. This is the path of how to go through these stages, and how, what does it mean to be a Naki? What does it mean to be a Zariz? So that's the theme of the book. It's really to teach us how to live life. If there's Shulchan Aruch teaches us halacha, the Shulchan Aruch for how to live life is the Mesilas Yesharim, how to work on step by step to hopefully get to a better place. So
it was written during the Renaissance or earlier?
It was written in the late 1600s. Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto was pursued terribly by opponents, most of them being prominent rabbis who accused him of being a megalomaniac, having all sorts of fantasies that he was talking to angels and that he was a messianist. And he was banned from Italy. He was chased out of Italy. He went to Amsterdam. He was pursued there. He ended up in Israel, you know, to try to both get to Israel and also to escape all the pressures. And he died at age 39. We don't even know fully where he's buried. We think he's buried in Tveria next to Rabbi Akiva. There is a gravestone for him there, but we're not sure. We don't really know. And he lived a very, very difficult life. He was put into cherem because he was teaching Kabbalah, and they made him promise that he wouldn't teach Kabbalah, and then his students said that they were still learning Kabbalah from him, so then the cherem was renewed against him. And he would have probably been forgotten to Jewish history if not for the Gaon of Vilna. The Gaon of Vilna very much endorsed the writings of Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, especially Mesilas Yesharim. The Gaon was a very great genius and very critical. And the Gaon said that in all of Mesilas Yesharim, there wasn't even one extra word in the first 11 chapters. So, with such a compliment from the Gaon of Vilna, that brought back Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. But he had a very, very difficult life. He was deeply pursued and harassed and pressured, and it was very hard, very, very hard. So let's start with the introduction of Mesilas Yesharim, which is really to make the argument that to talk about what is seemingly obvious is really very worthwhile. That's the first point that Mesilas Yesharim makes. His first point is, you might think that these things are elementary. You know, it's elementary as a Jew that God exists, we should think about God, we should take his law seriously. But Maseiach Yesharim argues that most of the time, the things that are elementary, because they're elementary, require study. So because it's so elementary, that's all the more reason why we should make a point of studying it. And if we don't study it, then we'll be surprised that we're not going to do it, or we won't do it right. So this is how he starts. Amar Mechaber, the author, began. Hachibur Hazeh, this book, Lo Chibartiv L'lamed Livnei Ha'adam Et Asher Lo Yad'u. I didn't make it to teach people what they don't know. Ela L'hazkiram Et Hayadu Lahem Kfar. I'm just trying to remind people of what they knew, U'mefursam Etzlam, and maybe even famous with them, Pirsum Gadol. It may be a very great theme. Ki lo timtza berov dvarai, ela dvarim sherov bnei ha'adam yod'im otam. You won't find in most of my words things that you never heard of. These are things that most people know. V'lo mistakim b'hem klal, and no one really is in doubt of it. Let's talk about the first thing, yirat Hashem, to fear God. It's in the Torah, we're supposed to fear God. For example, in Mishlei says, Reshit Chachma Yirat Hashem, the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. So who says we shouldn't fear God? Everybody agrees to that. So these are things that are well known. But nevertheless, Ela Shekfi Rov Pirsumam, because they're so well known, Ukineged Masha Mitatam Gluyai Lakol, and because their truth is so well known, Kacha Helem Mehem Matsui Ma'od Vashikha Rabba. That's why people ignore them and they forget about them. So Maseiach Yesharim is making the following argument that ironically, the things that everyone supposedly agrees to and what everyone is aware of is actually what people ignore. And whatever gets ignored, because, oh, it's so simple, it's so obvious, I know it, what gets ignored actually gets forgotten. And so you'll have a lot of people that are ostensibly good Jews, you know, how would you define good Jews? I don't know, they keep Jewish law, they'll only eat kosher, they'll keep Shabbos, they may even daven with a minyan three times a day, and they're good Jews, they're doing the things that they're supposed to be doing, but really, they're not even doing anything. So they're eating kosher because it's just, that's what we do, we eat kosher. They keep Shabbos because they're in the habit of keeping Shabbos. They daven because they got into the habit of davening. But they're not thinking about God. They're not afraid of God. They're not concerned about God. They're not trying to fulfill God's will. They're just going through motions. So how could they not be thinking about God? It's all about God. But because it's so essential to think about God, they stopped. I know that God exists. I know he's important. Obviously, that's why I'm doing it. But if you don't remind yourself of things, even the most elementary things get forgotten. So even the most basic concepts get forgotten. And you have a situation where somebody may do lots of good stuff, but it's really just a habit. It's just it's sort of like, I don't know, it's a social... It's a social, it's the way our team plays, you know, this is what we do in our team, this is what we, but it's a game, it's not about God. So how could anything not be about God? It's all about God, it's all about serving him and fulfilling his will. Well, people forgot about him because they thought they knew about him. So they didn't have to keep studying or asking or exploring or reviewing. So then it just becomes...
We do things because of habit and not because of purpose.
Right. This is the pasuk in the Navi Yeshayahu. The Navi Yeshayahu says, "Vatihi yiratam oti." It was that their fear of me, kimitzvat anashim melumada, like the commandment of people melumada. What does melumada mean? So the word limud, like the commandment of people that they've just been trained to do. Trained to do it. This is what they do. They say these words. They do these practices. But Where's the fear of me? There is no fear of me. It's just the habit. And that's what Ramchal is trying to fight against. The purpose of the book is not to... So, well, I know this already. That could be. But are you thinking about it now? Is it relevant? Are you exploring it? And if you're not constantly reviewing, you're going to forget. And even if you don't forget, with time, what God means becomes a distortion. What religion means becomes a distortion. So without the constant effort and actually trying to explore, we're not going to understand it correctly. And so Ramchal advances a series of arguments why a person should devote effort to what is seemingly very, very elementary ideas. Number one, we should realize if we don't devote effort to them, we're just going to forget about them. And then we're going to be lost entirely. So therefore, Ramchal says, Al-Kain, therefore, the purpose of this book is not going to be achieved by reading it once. Because it's possible that a person won't find anything new when reading it. Because he says, I know it, Elama'at. You know, he'll only find a couple small things. He basically knows these ideas. So if you read it once, when you read a book once, it's because you want to get some new idea. But here you're not going to find such new ideas. The gain from this book will be from review. Number one, review, vahatmada. And secondly, consistency. If you do this book every day, you review the book a lot, then you'll get a lot of gain. Because number one, yizachru lo hadvarim ha'ila nishkachim ibnei adam b'teva. You will be reminded of the things that people forget by nature. V'yasima libo chovato, and he'll take to heart his obligation, asher hu mit'alei mimena, that he's normally going to ignore. So I remember when I was in high school, so I had the privilege of learning a little bit from the head of the yeshiva. His name was Rav Zelig Epstein. And Rav Epstein, when I was in high school, he was already in his late 70s, maybe even early 80s. And he didn't have much to do with the yeshiva. But sometimes he'd be around, people would ask him questions. So I remember once a boy in the yeshiva asked him the following question. He said, we know that the Gemara says, mitzvah goreret mitzvah. One mitzvah drags another mitzvah. And Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim of Elazhin, writes that when you do a mitzvah, it adds holiness to you. When you have that added holiness, you can then do another mitzvah. So Nefesh HaChaim says that the same thing is true about learning Torah. When you learn a little bit of Torah, so that creates Kedusha, and the Kedusha then enables you to learn more Torah. So he said, well then, how are you ever going to do the first mitzvah? Right? If the mitzvah drags another mitzvah, because you couldn't have the ability to do that mitzvah unless you were deserving, and you only are deserving when you have the holiness of a mitzvah. So now you have the holiness of the mitzvah, now you can enter into the next mitzvah. So how do you do the first mitzvah? How do you even start learning? So he said, that's why the pasuk says, Reshit Chachma Yirat Elokim. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God. You don't start with the mitzvah, actually. You start with fearing Hashem. When you start with fearing Hashem, that creates the first step of holiness. And that first step of holiness then brings about the holiness to enable you to do the mitzvah of learning Torah. Because Reishit Chachma Yirat Elokim states that Yirat Elokim is the beginning of Chachma already. It's the beginning of Torah. So once you've started Torah through Yirat Elokim, then you can get to more Torah. What he was trying to communicate in his poetic fashion, and this is the point that Ramchal is teaching, the core of Torah, the core of Judaism, really is Yirat Elokim. That if we start with a very sincere awareness of Hashem, fear of Hashem, thinking about Hashem, belief that Hashem is involved in our lives and the details, That's the foundation of Torah. Torah without Yirat Elokim becomes, you know, a game. It's intellectual, it's interesting, but it's not, it's missing the foundation. So if we start with the foundation of Yirat Elokim, we already have Torah, and that already can lead to more Torah, that can lead to more mitzvos. So the religious experience is really the foundation of where everything starts from. Everything starts from the religious experience, from the Torah. So that's what Ramchal is saying here. We forget about that religious experience, not out of, you know, not being interested in the religious experience, but we think it's simple, so we don't need to review it. We don't need to remind ourselves of it. So the goal is to review and to be consistent. And when we do so, then we will find that we'll have the foundations. So that's what he says. He is kirulo advarim ha'ele nishkachim ibnei adam b'teva. Now there's another point here, which is human nature will forget about Yirat Shamayim and about doing things right and about trying to be careful with our character, because human nature always, you know, moves towards the more comfortable zone. So if I'm not thinking about Hashem, Yirat Shamayim, and mitzvot, and serving Hashem, so by nature, I'm going to look for the more comfortable thing. The more comfortable thing is going to be just to forget about it, to put it out of mind. It might be uncomfortable to take on more things or make changes. So by nature, a person's going to forget about these things. And therefore, it's important to review it. And when you review this, v'yasim libo chovato, then we will pay attention to our obligation, asher hu mitalei mimenu, that normally we do forget about, we ignore. V'tir'eh. So now, Ramchal makes the following second argument. If you look around, if you look around what's happening in most of the world, rov anshei ha'seichel ha'mahir, most people with a very fast brain, v'apikchim ha'charifim, and those who are very brilliant, yasimu rov itbonanam v'istaklutam b'dakut ha'chochmot, v'omek ha'yunim ish ish k'finit yat sichlo v'cheshko ha'tiv'i. Most people who are bright, and the definition of bright is that they understand things quickly, they have sharp insights. So most people who are bright, they try to explore things that are hard to grasp. You know, things that you work hard and then you understand it. Things that are delicate. Things that, you know, require, you know, deep investigation. Because they're bright, so they want to get those things that others can't figure out. So, for example, and everybody has their own interests. Yesh yitrachum ha'od b'mechkar ha'briya v'ateva. There are people who are very interested in science. They want to understand the trees or the types of birds or rules of nature. Achirim yitnu kol yunam l'tchuna l'handasa. Then there are other people that are very interested in engineering. They're very interested in math. They want to put things together. Then there are people who are very interested in certain professions, you know, crafts. And then there are people that are more interested in holy matters. There are people that want to learn the holy Torah. There are some people that love learning Gemara, the back and the forth, and the questions, and the analysis, and trying to apply it. Then there are people who love Midrashim. Then there are those who are interested in the rulings and the piskei halacha. Ach matim yiyu min amin hazeh asher yikvu'u iyun v'limud al inyanei shlemut ha'avodah. There are very few brilliant people that are trying to figure out in depth, okay, let's focus on different topics, not science, not practical, not halacha, much broader and much more basic concepts. Al-Ahava. What does loving God mean? How do I arouse love of God? Al-Hayira. What is fear of God? What does it entail? How do I get there? Al-Hadvekus. What is the goal of being godly, of being attached to God? Or Kol Shar Chelki HaChasidus, or any aspect of a very godly person. Where are the geniuses trying to figure out what does it mean to be godly? Not that the people who learn a lot of Torah and know Midrashim and Halacha think that it's not important to love God. If you ask them, should you love God? We're all about love of God. I said, why am I learning Torah? Because I love God. It's God's Torah. It's the main thing. So a person who's truly wise wants to understand everything correctly. Not to understand some things and not others, wants to get it all right. So why aren't they trying to figure out these areas of love and fear? It's because these things are very famous. And they think it's so obvious. He doesn't think that there is a need to spend time. Right? He says, you know, I know it already. I love God. Okay, on to what I don't know, what's interesting. So what happens is that these topics or reading books about these issues, so who studies the things about love of God? People who aren't very brilliant. So, you know, because they're intimidated by the Gemara, the Halacha, by all the details. So, you know, I'll learn Musar, I'll learn Yirat Shamayim. These are the people, they're learning this, they enjoy it. So when you see what has become the norm, if you see someone who's very sincere, you think, oh, it's probably not very bright. The sincere people that are concerned, what does God think? I love God, how do I love God? How do I fear God? They say, oh, it can't be too bright, because the bright people, they're busy with the PhDs and all the brilliant matters. They're not studying these things. So Ramchal says, this is terrible. This is terrible for everybody. For the wise and those who are not wise. Then no one ends up really serving God. And it's very hard to find service of God in this world. If the wise people are not going to investigate it, then those who are not so brilliant are not going to get it either. Because they're not going to grasp it. Lots of people think so Ramchal says, you know what happens? Is that because the intellectuals, those who have the gift of study, they are refusing to study Musar, Yirat Hashem, Ahavat Hashem, love of God, fear of God. So who studies love of God, fear of God? People who really are not that capable intellectually, and they're busy. And they totally misunderstand it because they're just not that smart. So they totally misunderstand it. So what you have is this terrible corruption where people think that you know what it is to really do for God? To read a lot of Tehillim. Or to, when it's snowing outside, to take off your coat, take off your shirt and roll in the snow to wipe away the sins. Or to fast a lot. And this is terrible. Says Ramchal, this is a terrible, terrible distortion. And Ramchal is going to argue the following. He said, God is extremely wise. So that's why the world that he made is very brilliant. And it takes brilliance to understand the world. That's why halacha is very intellectually challenging, because it comes from a brilliant source. So wouldn't the foundations also require brilliance? Fear of God, love of God. These are the foundations. So how could they not require brilliance? Of course they require brilliance. It can't be that the service of God, the person who's really a tzaddik, is the person who's not thinking much and he's rolling in the snow. That can't possibly be. What, chemistry is brilliant, but the study of serving Hashem is not? So what Rav Chaim is going to argue, this is his major theme, is that really what God wants from us in this world is the greatest, greatest pleasure. God is a loving, loving being. And a loving being wants people to be happy, wants to, everybody should have good, everyone should have as much as possible. That's the nature of a loving being. A loving being wants to give, make other people smile, to make people feel good. And Hashem, that's what he wants. He wants people to feel good. He wants to give a gift. He wants to make people happy. So what's the greatest possible gift? The greatest possible gift is Hashem himself. I think of the Gemara has a story about Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says that there was a person who was a wealthy landowner in Eretz Yisrael, and his son was away in Spain. So it was a year journey at the time from Spain to Eretz Yisrael. And then he got sick, and he was very ill. He was going to pass away. So to send a letter would take a year. Meanwhile, he was going to die, and he had slaves. Some of them were Roman slaves. So he was worried that a Roman slave of his would go to the Roman governor and give him a bribe and say, you know, this is all my property. And when the son would eventually come back, there'd be nothing left for the son. So the wealthy landowner decided that he needed some eitzah. How's he going to preserve his wealth for his son? So he went to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva gave him the advice. So he announced very publicly that he's so grateful to his Roman slave. He's done so much good for him. He's served him, helped him. He's therefore giving all of his wealth to the Roman slave, with the exception of one item that he owns. And when his son comes, after his death, the son can choose what that item was. So once he announced it, the Roman slave was thrilled. He doesn't have to spend money to bribe the Roman governor. He has it by law. So he you know, spread the will everywhere. Look at what I was given. And he sent the message to Spain, to the son. The man died. The son comes. The son doesn't understand. What did my father do? He gave everything away. So he went to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva explained. So he came back. And this man is now, the slave is now sitting in the former master's office, and he's enjoying everything. He says, listen, what would you want? Would you want a goblet? You want a painting? A field maybe? He said, what I want is you. Because whatever a slave owns belongs to his master. So this slave had, this person had been a slave of the master, but I'm taking you to be my slave. When I take you to be my slave, I get back all the possessions that my father had. So in that way, I get everything. So in that sense, when there are certain things that if a person has, he has everything. If a person has Hashem, he has everything, because Hashem is the source of life of everything. Hashem is the creator of everything. If we have Hashem, then we have everything. We have the Almighty. We have Hashem. We have everything. So Ramchal says Hashem wants to give us everything. He wants to give us himself. That's the greatest gift. That's to give us everything. So the real meaning of love of Hashem, the real meaning of fear of Hashem, the real meaning of service of Hashem, it's not that Hashem wants people to suffer, wants people to be rolling in the dust, wants people to be fasting. Say, I do so much for Hashem, I fast. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem's not looking for you to suffer. Oh, I did sins, and now I'm paying back to God by fasting. That's a very shallow and almost idiotic thought of what God wants. What God wants is he wants us to be attached to him. He wants us to have him. Now, how do we have him? We have him when we are godly people. If we act in a godly way, then we have him. And what it means to serve God means to emulate God, to be like God. So we think, you know, about Hashem's chesed, right? Just to give one last example. Toma Dvora says, we think about Hashem's chesed, Hashem gives life to everyone. Are there people that Hashem is giving life to that are then taking some of that life and going against Hashem, violating mitzvos, you know, insulting Hashem, fighting Hashem, of course. And he's still giving life. So if I want to be godly, let me find somebody that gets on my nerves, that maybe takes advantage of some of the favors I do for him. And keep doing. That's real service of Hashem. Because that's acting in a godly way. The people who think, you know, if they read a lot of Tehillim or if they roll in the snow, then they're godly because they're less physical, they're spiritual. They're missing it, and they're missing it. It's not their fault, because it's the fault of the wise people. The wise people should be studying, should be figuring these deeper insights out, should be explaining these deeper insights so that the people who don't have the capability would know it. But unfortunately, what happens is that because it's so obvious, no one studies it. So the first thing is, says Ramchal, study it so you won't forget it. And even more, study it so that you'll understand it correctly. When you understand it correctly, you'll get to the real service of Hashem, because we live in a world where there's a terrible misunderstanding of what service of Hashem is. Service of Hashem, and the real holy people are the people who are attached to Hashem. And there's a lot to think about. There's a lot to explore about service of Hashem, about fear of Hashem. And the point of Mesilas Yesharim is to get us to start thinking about these ideas. So this is a beginning. And of course, if there are any further ideas, if you want to learn something else, want to learn the Siddur instead or Mesilas Yesharim. I like Mesilas Yesharim.
Why are we surprised that he was not reading the ideas? Thank you.